Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach. Well, I like that statement. I'm glad Jesus was a preacher. And it didn't just tell us that he was a preacher, but it told us what he preached. The Bible said Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't understand where people can try to do away with repentance when it's so clear in the scripture. Jesus began to preach, and what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at verse 18. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, this is what's on my mind for tonight, follow me. That's something that's going to be challenged in your life. Even if you've made a commitment in times past to do that, you've answered that call, you've said yes to that call, that call is going to be challenged by the flesh. That call is going to be challenged by the world. That call is going to be challenged by people in your life. And so I hope that our mind is fixed and made up, that that we got in for the long haul to follow him. Amen. And he said unto them, verse 19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Well, there's a lot of preaching in that term right there, and I have before. Mending their nets. There's holes in their nets. And of course, there's a lot of applications there to being a witness, you know, with holes in your life. A fish in a net will look for that hole. Look for that hole to get out of. I remember preaching, go ahead and be seated. I remember preaching on that subject one time about going from holy to holy. I don't know if you remember that or not, where I illustrated with the fish nets, going from holy to holy. And there's holes in the nets that are necessary, and that is to let the world out. But then there's holes in our nets that are not supposed to be there, that lets the fish out, that lets people escape. They'll use that flaw in your life as an excuse. But he said to these two, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. You talking about a life change. Instant life change. They immediately left ship, father, nets, everything, and went and followed the Lord. And Jesus is beginning his earthly ministry. He's come out of the temptation in the early passage of chapter 4 when the devil, you know, led him out or was tempting him in the wilderness. He was actually led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And then it goes right out from that, and he's beginning now to call help. Help wanted. He's showing us here that though he's capable, being God in the flesh, he could speak the word only. He could just speak the word and it'd be done. But he's showing us here a pattern that he has still never changed. And that is, his work is done through his followers. Okay? That's the way it is now. Jesus is still doing his work through his people and his followers. And so I just want to look at this for a few minutes tonight on just being a follower of Jesus, being reminded of that tonight. And maybe Maybe the devil's challenged you in that area to walk away or else to compromise that, to get slack in that area of being a follower of Jesus. And that's not a group thing. He called individuals. He called Peter. He called Andrew. He called the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. He called them. And you and I that's been saved, he's called us. He's called us to be followers. In fact, to be a the call to salvation is synonymous with the call to follow him. That's not two separate calls. You don't get a call to salvation and then later on a call to service. God may clarify later on what that service is. But when you get in to follow him. Amen. And so he's showing us there he's depending on followers. He's needing followers. And I think sometimes we think that God's just going to do it without us. I think we say we're against fatalism, but our life seems to support that. It seems to support that philosophy that, well, what will be, will be. And whether we do anything or not, whether we pray or not, whether we witness or not, no matter how we live, God's just going to do it anyway. Well, I believe he's sovereign. There's no question about that. But his sovereignty never, ever overrides human responsibility. In fact, works hand in hand with it. Amen? So God's looking for, and if you'll notice that when he called Peter and Andrew and James and John, he didn't force them. He didn't twist their arm. He didn't put a rope around them. He called them. And I don't know how much time, if any, that they had prior to this with the Lord. I don't know of any indication they had any exposure to the Lord Jesus Christ prior to this. So when Jesus comes by and he calls them, I think it's very interesting that all four of them began to follow the Lord right there, which meant to leave the ship and the relationships and the nets and the everything behind and make following Christ not just a part of your life, but your life. See, I think that's where most people in church today is missing it, is that we have made following Christ part-time. We've made it a sideline. Instead of the main line, instead of it being our life. I wonder, don't answer that. I'm just asking some challenging questions. I wonder how many of us in here tonight can say after months and years, it's still my heart's desire and decision and choice, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. So anyway, I began to think about that, and the first thing that stuck out to me was that being a follower of Christ involves a call. And let me say that this call involves all. God does not exclude one of his children when he gives the call to follow him. Not one saint of God in any nation, in any generation, that is excluded from that call. So this call is upon all, okay? Doesn't matter if it's been the couple of the kids that have gotten saved recently here, they've got a call on their life. Not just to get saved, but that with that and involved in that, inseparable with that, is a call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that's elementary preaching, basic ABCs preaching, but I'm seeing people everywhere seemingly say their life seems to indicate, well, I'll get saved, but then it'll be years before I ever get serious about following the Lord. That's not scriptural. That is not in the Bible. If God saves you at 6 years old, he means for you to start following him as a 6 year old. He means for you to start following him and getting to know him and praying to him, being involved in Sunday school, being involved in church services. Amen. At 6 years old or 60 years old or whatever the case is. So there's a call, and it's upon all. And then let me say that this is not only just a call that's upon all, but it's a call of approach. When Jesus says, follow me, he's really saying, come here. Not just come after me, but come to me. Come hither, come close, come now. He's pressing the urgency there upon those men. Come now. Boy, what would happen if we could get that now urgency back in our churches? Come now. Now's the accepted time. Now's the time to serve. Now's the time to do. Yesterday's gone. We can't do that no more. That can never be recalled. Tomorrow may never come. Come now. And God help us to do that. So it's not this call is upon all. This call is a call to approach him. You'll never follow him till you come to him. He wants you close to him. Amen. So there's a call to approach. And then there's a call of authority. I'm talking about this follow me involves a call. When Jesus said, follow me, he's putting that in the imperative mood, which is a command given. If we treat it like a suggestion, then we're going to fail. We're leaving the door open. You know, well, I may try this, and if it's uncomfortable, and you can count on it, it will be uncomfortable. Well, I'll try it, preacher, but if it's too much of a change, then the door's open, I'll bail out. No, well, you can count on it. It's going to be life-changing. When you get saved and you're a follower of the Lord, there are things, and I'll mention it in a second, but there's things that you're going to leave behind. There's going to be parts and pieces of your life that was once valuable, that was once important, that was nothing wrong with that. They were fishers, they were workers, they were hard at it. And I think that's worth noting that Jesus called those that were already busy to follow him. So there's a call upon all, a call to approach, a call of authority. He's expressing a command here. Amen? In other words, when you was on your ship, you were serving underneath your father, and rightfully so. But he said, now you have a new authority in your life. That's not to mean that you're supposed to disregard what daddy says or parents say or authority say. But it's just that we have a supreme authority in our life now, and that his name is Jesus. So it's a call upon all. Nobody's excluded here tonight. Nobody. It's a call to approach. Follow me. Come hither. Come here. Come now. It's a call of authority, but then it's a call of abandonment. It's a call of abandonment. And I don't see, listen, this, wouldn't you agree that this is the pattern? Jesus is starting it. He's setting a pattern for everybody he calls, a call of abandonment. I don't see much of that anymore. I see people saying they've answered the call, you know, of salvation, they answered the call to follow the Lord, but they continue on with their life. They continue on with their direction and their decision. And people are making choices in life, and a lot of those choices are nothing wrong with. Nothing wrong with some of those choices, but the question should be asked, did you pray about it? I don't know God's direction for your life. I don't know God's will for your life. I don't know God's purpose for which he saved you. I don't know that. Amen. Amen. And there's going to be doors open in your life that maybe God is not in. Amen. That's right. You can step through the wrong door. We all need discernment. We need to have discernment of what we need to let go of. Nets that we need to leave behind. Amen. We need to have some discernment about those things. But there's a call of abandonment. Leave behind some of those nets. And even forsake some ties that's in your life, amen. So not only do we see here that there's a call, follow me is a call, amen. Not everybody's called to preach, not everybody can sing, Not everybody maybe has the gift of teaching, but I think there's a lot more could teach if they would apply themselves. I think there's a lot more could teach if they would learn and apply themselves. And I'm thankful that there's opportunities here to try to allow some of the younger ones to teach occasionally. Amen. Why? For training purposes. Because they may be a teacher in the future. They may stand before a class in the future. Amen. They may be used to teach somebody in discipleship. Amen. Be able to help them as a young convert. Amen. Everybody ought to be studying the Word of God. Amen. It's downplayed, I'm afraid. It's played down in churches today to study. Or they think it's a preacher thing. Amen. A lot of preachers in some circles in our area, they think it's almost a sin to study. They think it's you just need to, they take that verse out of context in Psalms 81, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. They use that as a preacher verse. There's not one in nothing about that verse that is dealing with preaching. That whole verse and that whole chapter is God telling his people, if you'd have hearkened to me, if you'd have obeyed me, I could have fed you with the finest of the wheat and honey out of the rock. I could have fed you. And if you'd opened your mouth in obedience and hearkened to me, I could fill it. I could satisfy you. I could take care of you. That's what that is. Amen. They'll boast about, well, I'm ignorant. Lord, I wouldn't tell nobody. We heard that not long ago. We were in the service and the pastor spent a few minutes talking about how he didn't go to school nobody said you had to. Amen. So I ain't had no college and I've not had any training. And well, I wouldn't have told that. Amen. But I want to study. You ought to study. But there's a call to abandonment, to be able to know from studying what it is that I need to let go in my life. A lot of people will never be potentially what they could be because of some nets that of their past life that they refuse to let go of. And what happens is they get caught in their own net. So anyway, there's a call. Follow me also, number two, is a commitment. When Jesus said, follow me, he's speaking about a commitment. And boy, people don't seem to be interested too much in that in our day. Commitment. Commitment to church, commitment to the Bible, commitment to Sunday school, commitment to, serving the Lord. Just don't seem to have much commitment about it. Amen. And it doesn't take much to cause people's minds to change. I mean, really, just they we've seen marriages here in our church blow apart. Just the commitment, they get on my nerves. Well, so? I've not found the verse, but there probably are one in there that's going to be a part of being married. They're going to get on your nerves, amen. You have two individuals, separate people with separate lives and separate likes, and all of those things coming together as one. I promise you there's going to be some thunder and lightning. Say amen right there. But there's a commitment here. Jesus is not giving them a contract. He's not giving them an opportunity of making bargains. Okay, Lord, I'll follow you if. Lord, I'll follow you now, and if I can bring this, or if I can do this, or if I don't have to change here, I will follow you. There's none of that. Jesus just laid it out there very plain, follow me. No conditions, no contracts, no agreements, no bargains. Just do it or don't. Follow me. Just follow me. Amen? We don't need the fine print. We don't need... for him to tell us all the ins and outs of this life of following Christ. We ought to just know that following him in and of itself is going to be good enough. Hey, man, you think about this. I just thought about this. I'm going to add this one right now lest I forget it. But this call, I mean, this follow me involves companionship. I just saw that. Jesus, when he said follow me, that meant we're going the direction he's going. We're following him. That means he's going first. Whatever I'm facing, he's done walked through it. Hey, man. Hallelujah. We're talking about that friend a while ago. You talking about a friend. Follow me. Hey, man. I'm glad he's there. I'm glad he's involved. He's in front. He's our example. He's in front. He's leading. He's choosing the direction. He's making the choices. But there's a commitment involved here. Amen? A commitment. Well, I like that myself. So we've done got three already. We got it involves a call, but then a commitment, and then a companionship. And watch this. It's not just a companionship with him, but around us are fellow followers. Around us are others, thank God, that are following the Lord. Hey, come on now. How many of us have thought at times, well, it seems like, who was it, Elijah? Thought he was the only one left. Lord, is there any left? Is there anybody else serving God? Is there anybody else still adhering to the old time way? I've wondered that at times. But I promise you, when the big family, universal family of God gets to the big house on high, we're going to find out there was a number which no man could number that were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it involves a call and it also involves a commitment. And that's not, listen, when you make that, you answer that call and you commit to the Lord to being a follower. And maybe we need to, and when we have our prayer time in a moment, maybe you need to reassure that in your life. Maybe you're starting to second guess that. Maybe you're starting to bring in some considerations, you know, of slacking, getting slack in that regard. Amen. And I know I've been in this thing not as long as some, but I've been in here long enough till I know that, listen, valleys and burdens and battles and giants and disappointments and things of that nature will play on your mind spiritually to get you second guessing some commitments that you've made to him. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. And I just want to insert right here that my mind is still made up. My mind is still made up to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever that means and all that that means, I want it. Amen. And all of us in here that are saved are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged for several things, calls and responsibilities in our life. But I promise you one thing all of us are going to stand and give an account of, and that's were we a follower of him? Did we follow him? Anyway, let me move on. Not only do we see those, what, three things already, but also follow me, it also talks about a course. Follow me implies he's walking a path, he's setting an example, and we are to follow that course. Follow him. Go where he's going. Amen. Boy, that sounds simple, don't it, Brother Ivan? Just when there's a crossroads, just follow him. Go in the direction he's going in. It'll always be right. You think he's going to lead himself in the wrong direction? Which is, Brother Aaron, what he would have to do if he leads me in the wrong direction, he'd be having to lead himself in the wrong direction because I'm following him and he's in the front. But now listen now. If you get that arrangement out of backwards, you get that backwards and you're out front and you're making the calls and hoping that he follows you. You can count on it. There'll be wrong moves, wrong choices. So there's a course that's involved in following the Lord. Amen. And I might add before I move on to the last two thoughts, that course is lifelong. Amen. You may retire from a job, but you don't retire from following Him. Amen. Amen, that's right, isn't it? Come on, man. I mean, I know preachers that's up in their latter years, you know, like Brother Wells, Brother Larry Raines, and Brother Max Alderman, you know, that's already climbing up on the other end of the age bracket, and they've stepped aside from maybe pastoring, but they're still busy. They're still preaching. They're still doing what they can and being a blessing. Amen. In other words, when you get in, you don't get in to get off. You don't get on to get off. Amen. It's not a trial run, Miss Joanne. It's not temporary. It's till you draw your last breath. Thank God, hallelujah. You are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and I feel God on that. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. So there's a chorus. Then number whatever it is, five or six. There's a conduct. Follow me. Follow me means, listen to this. It means the word follow, and several other times it's used in that fashion in the scripture. Follow has the idea of imitate. Has the idea of mimic, imitate. Remember when Paul used that term in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be ye followers of me as dear children. Said on another occasion, follow me as, even as I also am a follow Christ. Those terms means imitate. And again, I know I say it a lot, but I don't see much of that anymore. Where are the people and the preachers even that desires to imitate the Lord inwardly, mentally, spiritually, visibly, outwardly, mimic the Lord? Amen. I know people were, it was a big thing back in the day, that WWJD and all that, and people would wear it in every form and fashion, have tags on their cars and all that stuff. But really, that concept is a good concept. Amen. And it was based on what I understand, it was based on, what was it, four men? Four men, I think, that purposed in their heart for a period of time that we're going to do nothing unless it is something that would be Christ-like. We're going to ask ourselves on every decision, what would Jesus do? In this situation, in this case, how would he respond? How would he act? How would he do? And I'd say that would help keep us straight, wouldn't it? So it involves a conduct. God wants us to be like him, don't he? Not just in the future. We know we're going to be like him because we're going to see him as he is, but what about being like him now? When a person has rebellion in their heart, that's not Christ-like. Jesus is not rebellious. When we're disobedient, that's not Christ-like. When we're unfaithful, that's not Christ-like. I mean, I thought about it today. Jesus loved the church to the point that he gave himself for it. And you've heard it before, but it come on my heart again today that if he loved the church enough to give himself for it, surely we ought to love it enough to be faithful. We ought to love it enough to support it. We ought to love it enough that our life exhibits that we are in fact church-going, Jesus-loving people. Amen, that's right. That's good. Involves conduct. And last, it involves a construction. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You do the following, I'll do the making. You follow me, and I'll develop you. Amen. And I believe that in light of this scripture here, that following and fishing are together. Being a fisher of men. Amen. He said, follow me, and I will make, verse 19, and I will make you fishers of men. He called John and or James and John there in verse 20 and 20, 21, or 21 and 22 rather, and he called them, and they followed him. They started following him. They left everything and started following him. And God used those men and some others that would join in later to absolutely, still yet today, we see their effects. What about that? What God can do with a few that'll follow. God can touch generations in the future if somebody will say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Amen, that's right. But last of all, well, that is last one, involves a construction. That is, God said, I will make you fishers of men. He's going to develop us. He's going to work on us and in us, and to be that. So that was just a few things on my heart this evening about following the Lord. I want that refreshed in my heart. I don't ever want that to be something that I'm considering giving up or considering quitting, considering to get slack in. Brother Aaron, I don't want to do that. I want to be able to say after 36 and a half years, Lord, by the grace of God, my determination and my decision, amen, I want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus until I draw my last breath. Amen. It's the only life that makes sense. It's the only life that has a good ending. I was thinking, and I hate to mention this, but I was thinking about Brother Bruce Holland's brother that committed suicide this week. And he was 33 years old. I spoke to Brother Bruce at length about it, and he's 33 years old and just actually went on Facebook and wrote his own eulogy, I guess, before he did it. He said, by the time you read this, it'll be too late. And I thought, that's what a wasted life. 33 years old, that's young, 33 years old. But he listened to the lie of the devil. Listened to the lies of the devil, whatever they were. I'm sure they were lies. I mean, you don't hang yourself as he did. You don't do that because God's been talking to you. God's not the author of an ended life. No, he's not the one that's in charge of you thinking, well, what's the use and what's the purpose and 33 years old and end your life. You know, I thought about that. What could God have done with that 33-year-old young man? If God could have got possession of him. Amen. I want to stay with the Lord. Amen. He's the true friend. He's the one that loves me. And he's been faithful. I've not, but he has. He's been faithful. And I sure praise him for it. Amen tonight. Amen.